The rules of the internet are changing, as American consumers have increasingly turned to high-speed so-called broadband portals to the World Wide Web. The quality of connections and the way in which the internet is used is evolving. Today, as we start our three-part series on cyber surveillance and the freedom of public access to information on the internet, Brendan Sweeney reports that the regulatory precedents being set by Congress and the FCC could undermine and perhaps effectively privatize much of the World Wide Web.
Traditional narrowband dial-up phone modems remain the way that most Americans access the net. However, most consumers and industry insiders agree that high-speed broadband connections represent the future of connectivity. Recognizing the potential of this developing technology, government and industry groups have sought to foster incentives for increased investment in broadband infrastructure. Last month, at a hearing held by the House Subcommittee on Telecommunications and the Internet, entitled Regulatory Status of Broadband, Congress heard testimony from such media giants as Microsoft, Apple, and Disney, calling for a radical restructuring of how the internet is regulated in the broadband era.
First of all, the regulation has to encourage deployment and investment. Without that, the broadband is not going to get to anybody, either private homes or public forums.
Matt Bennett is policy director of the Alliance for Public Technology.
The way to do that is through sensible regulation. That is, rules and policies that encourage investment while protecting consumer interests. In the broadband world, since it's still developing, the first step is the first connection, regardless of who provides it.
In the early 1990s, when internet connectivity was only through dial-up modems, the FCC announced rules compelling phone companies to give consumers choice of internet service providers, or ISPs. But now, citing an urge for, quote, regulatory parity and to, quote, spur broadband investment, these FCC rules will not be applied to telephone-based DSL and cable-based broadband services. However, in these FCC actions, many media activists see the beginning of a more insidious industry-government attempt to effectively privatize much of the open content on the web. From its inception, one of the hallmarks of the World Wide Web has been the principle of open access. Recent precedents have led some, like Andrew J. Schwartzman, director of the Washington, D.C.-based Media Access Project, to worry that many of these principles are being eroded.
The internet as we know it was created under a telephone model, that is the dial-up internet. People are used to being able to call anyone they want and to utilize any part of the internet without any censorship or interference with what they're doing. The cable television industry would like to adopt the cable television model, and some of the large telephone companies would like to use that model as well, under which they take an interest in controlling the content that moves over the internet, just as the cable companies control the menu of programming available on cable television.
Among the proposals put forth by the industry at last month's congressional hearing was a bit rate pricing scheme, which would charge broadband internet users different fees based on the number of bits transferred per month. Jeff Chester, director of the Center for Digital Democracy, warns that initiatives such as these represent an industry attempt to fundamentally shift the nature of the net.
And these new emerging broadband super media conglomerates will be able to impose all kinds of fees, bundle their own content that they own with your online access so that you're likely to spend more time with their content, which will be more affordable, more visible. There's a real danger now that progressive alternative voices, which are just making an effective toehold, so to speak, may find themselves facing new obstacles and hurdles that they're going to effectively reach citizens and users.
When the FCC announces changes to the media ownership rules of so-called old media, of newspapers and television, a broad coalition of community activists, media critics, and citizens effectively publicized and mobilized against these changes, warning that they would limit the spectrum of voices available to consumers. Consumer advocates argue that issues of control and consolidation of new media sources, particularly broadband internet, have equally relevant and compelling regulatory implications. More information on media consolidation and broadband can be accessed at mediaaccess.org.
I love my computer, you make me feel all right, every waking hour and every lonely night. I love my computer for all you give to me, predictable errors and no identity, and it's never been quite so easy. I've never been quite so
Robatis brings us this second part of our special three-part series on cyber surveillance and the freedom of public access to information on the internet.
At the heart of the plan is hardware being developed by Microsoft known as the Palladium platform, but which Microsoft has renamed NGSCB, or Next Generation Secure Computing Base. It creates what's known as a secure executable environment on your computer, which essentially means there's a part of your computer you can't control. Seth Schoen, staff technologist for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, says while Palladium will implement much-needed security, as evidenced by the recent blaster worm, Microsoft made a bad decision while designing the platform.
They decided in designing this technology to treat the computer owner as the enemy.
Schoen says third parties can create or allow for the creation of files which can only be read by software approved by that party.
As a condition of interoperating, the third party can require you to prove using the new attestation feature that you're running software which that third party accepts or approves. And that's a terrible thing for competition.
For example, some websites may only work with specified browsers. Also, an instant messaging program might only work with messages using the same program despite the existence of compatible competing programs. A spokesperson for Microsoft was unavailable for this story, and the trusted computer group and industry alliance behind the Palladium plan did not return phone calls. The trusted computer group, led by Microsoft, IBM, Intel, Hewlett-Packard, and ADM, was created in April, quote, to bring the industry together to focus on delivering easily accessible specifications for trusted computing standards that ultimately let people work, conduct transactions, and use computing devices with a new level of confidence. The new industry group announced it would license patents to the technology to other members under reasonable and non-discriminatory terms. So far, 32 companies have signed on. Chris Hufnagel, deputy counsel with EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, says Palladium creates a universal way for websites, government, and others to track the websites, programs, and files we use.
Palladium essentially is a way of ensuring that your computer will not do what you tell it to do.
Hufnagel says Palladium will have to be rolled out as hardware in new computers because software security solutions are much easier to defeat.
The big content producers are trying to make your computer more like an appliance. They want your computer to be more like a television, where you turn it on, you switch the channels, and you don't have that much input in how the TV actually works.
That could be a long-sought solution for media companies who don't want fans to share their copyrighted works over the web. Hufnagel also says Microsoft has been shopping the Palladium technology to the government.
There is a situation where a boss could send a memo that's very sensitive and perhaps damaging and restrict its dissemination to only the top officers, and also have the memo self-destruct after a certain number of days. Now, you can imagine how many people in law enforcement or national security would want that ability. But at the same time, we have to think about what that would mean for open government and for government accountability.
Dheeraj Vasishta, who created and maintains Microsuck.com, notes Microsoft says you do have the option of turning off Palladium, but that becomes less of an option as future versions of Windows and other programs become dependent on the so-called feature being activated.
One of the more disturbing elements for us, those of us who use alternatives to Windows, is that one of the things that one of the implications of this is that if you try to install Linux or any other non-Windows operating system on your Intel or AMD-based PC, in theory, you can be prevented from doing that. You can essentially end up with a PC that only understands Windows.
Chris Hufnagel of EPIC says there are good aspects of Palladium, or NGSCB, that come bundled with the bad.
We can try to build this so it'll be only the good aspects. However, the media giants and the people who actually build your computers want to build in some of the bad aspects.
Hufnagel says people need to object now, because once the changes are implemented, it'll be too late. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Lee Robartis.
I love my computer, you're always in the mood. I get so turned on when I turn on you. I love my computer, you never ask for more. You can be a princess, or you can be my whore. And it's never been quite so easy. I've never been quite so
The information technology age has revolutionized the manner in which we communicate and operate on a daily basis. It has provided us with wireless data networks, encryption abilities, the global internet, and the ability to monitor and consolidate vast amounts of information from around the world. Since 9/11, the Bush administration has taken various steps to unleash its newest weapon against terrorism, technology.
The military had its idea of a worldwide computer network that really would be able to survive a large-scale war.
Mike DiFilippo, an independent electrical and robotics engineer, explains how the internet got its start.
Because we saw how reliable it was when, during the fall of the Soviet Union, the best news reports and information, there was no more phones, there was no more satellite services or news services for a while, but the best information came from the internet.
In response to the events of 9/11, President Bush quickly extended the anti-terrorism law to include cyberterrorism as a federal offense and allow law enforcement agencies spying capabilities through the use of the internet and everyday computing. One of those tools developed by the FBI was known as Carnivore, which has recently been renamed DCS-1000. Frank Beecham, a technology writer, explains how this device, which has been installed on all Windows 2000 and XP systems, is used to monitor users.
Carnivore is the government's way of going through the huge amount of data that circulates through the internet on a given day, and somehow using fragments of that through surveillance to construct scenarios of threats to security.
Microsoft has established itself as a monopoly in the computing world. Critics of the company's practices have accused the corporation of seeking to control not only the internet, but television and radio streaming, software use, and operating systems around the world. Recently, a new virus has affected computers due to a flaw in the emailing software. This virus, known as the Blaster or the Worm, was passed from the update site of Windows, which has recently encouraged a new patch to protect users.
Windows is notoriously insecure and bloated and huge and such a big project, I don't even think Microsoft knows how it works anymore.
Lee Azzarello, a computer programmer, explains how Windows' emailing system allows your address book to be opened and how the worm then sends its virus to everyone in your address book and passes it through the system.
This worm exploits this thing called the RPC, which stands for Remote Procedure Calls, remote being the keyword, in that you could remotely call certain programs on your operating system, and it gets at this RPC system over the internet.
Microsoft Office's latest product, 2003, comes equipped with XML capabilities. XML is the flexible and widely adopted internet protocol. It allows Word, Excel, and PowerPoint to be saved in XML format so that items can be shared easily between the different softwares. Outlook 2003 is advertised to have, quote, network awareness, which means that Microsoft can monitor the connection between users of the network. Sounds like a great deal? Well, the British government has discontinued the use of Microsoft systems for Adobe Acrobat, stating that the Word document that created the dossier revealed hidden information of the names who worked on it and the changes that were made. Again, technology writer Frank Beecham.
Microsoft Word, the format since 1997, virtually every document made in Microsoft Word contains hidden letters and symbols and fragments of data from the user's computer that can reveal anything from confidential information to social security numbers to names and addresses.
This week, Attorney General John Ashcroft launches his nationwide campaign to expand anti-terrorism surveillance powers. This as Microsoft announced today that Office 2003 will be available for consumers by October 2003 with expanded protections. For Free Speech Radio News in New York, I'm Simba Rousseau.